ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert, Season 2, Episode 7. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and I would just like to start out and apologize for the gap in between this episode and Episode 6. It's mostly my fault. I had technical issues due to Windows 10.
And thank you to our new sponsors, Microsoft, for Windows 10.
Yeah.
An easier interface to work on for all your computer needs.
Oh, and that guy from the Peanut Gallery is a good buddy of mine, and that is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And we also have with us our resident DC fanboy, Taylor Catcher.
Hello.
And Patrick Hackett and Ron Deanna are on assignment. Alright, so on tonight's episode, we are going to discuss a possible Fox-Marvel collaboration in the future. There were rumors last year that the Fantastic Four would be joining the MCU after the disaster of Josh Trank's Fantastic Four reboot. But recently more rumors have been heating up, and where there is smoke, there is fire. Anyway, we're going to talk about that in a bit. But first, let's get right into the news. And you know what, guys? We have some breaking news. I just saw this just about 20 minutes ago. Got this from Making Star Wars, a new Rogue One, a Star Wars trailer, will be airing on July 15th on ABC. It's a 3-minute trailer, so it's not a teaser. It'll probably give us more of the story. I think it's going to occur somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m. at that day, when a new Star Wars special airs called Secrets of the Force Awakens. But that's not 100% confirmed if they're actually going to have that special or if it's going to air during something else. It's kind of weird because I think that's a Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
And the 15th is the same day that Ghostbusters comes out. They're going to have a real competition.
Ugh.
I'm excited about that movie. I know you're such a hater, but I'm excited.
I know I'm not the only one that's a hater on that movie. But anyway, so we're looking forward to it. Again, I sent you guys some pictures. It looks like Forrest Whitaker had quite a change in the reshoots. I don't know if you saw that. Like he
I saw they kind of, well, they gave him hair. I'm wondering, because since he's supposed to be reprising a character from the Clone Wars, maybe they gave him hair to make him more recognizable from the Clone Wars? I don't know. I think you guys might have caught that series more than I did.
I don't know. Did you, Taylor?
No, I didn't watch that at all. So I'm really kind of angry, to be honest. It's kind of the same I've talked about this on this podcast before, I'm sure, when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. affected my Avengers movie to a point where, like, the reason why they were there was in the TV show. I kind of have a problem with TV shows affecting movies. I don't have a problem the other way around, because I feel like the movie is the easier digestible, less of thing to watch. Unless it's, like, a show that, like, let's say Firefly, for example, there's 14 episodes, and then there's a movie that's wrapping it up. That's a different story. But, like, there's this character that I now need to watch all of Clone Wars because I need to know apparently all this stuff now matters in my Star Wars movies, right? It's fine to be extended universe. It's fine to have books that explain stuff. It's fine to have comics that explain stuff. Like, yeah, now I know how C-3PO got his red arm. But, like, that didn't really matter for the movie, and I feel like this is going to matter for me now. I'm just kind of upset. What?
Actually, it's just one episode.
Oh, cool. What episode? I'll watch it, like, later today. No, but still, the thing is, it's still, though, it's kind of like, don't... I mean, I appreciate that they're using, I guess, real characters. I don't know. It's hard to judge that system.
Well,
I don't think there's going to be all that much of a draw. So, for example, in Rebels, when they brought Captain Rex back, I didn't watch Clone Wars, but Rex came back and it was self-explanatory enough that, oh yeah, he was a clone trooper in Clone Wars. Okay, that's great. Enough said. I didn't really need a backstory on everything that happened with Captain Rex. And Forrest Whitaker's character, as long as he's a fun character to watch,
Oh, you're right.
And they don't even need a backstory, so I'm not worried about the episode of Clone Wars he was from. And if they left the hair off him, it wouldn't matter to me either.
Yeah, I just feel like I end up getting really into stuff, and like I need to know everything about it. Yeah, and so now that I was able to compartmentalize both Rebels and Clone Wars and be like, well, I know they're canon and eventually I'll get to them, but they're not going to affect like my movies. And now they're going to. So I think that's probably going to be something else I work through is both of those shows. I just wish that there was an easier way to watch Rebels. I feel like I have to buy it or something because it's not like on something streamable, which is annoying.
Well, it's still on a regular channel.
Who has cable? What? Nobody has cable. Yeah, I guess both of you guys do.
I'm still in the dark ages. I pay for cable.
Yeah, I have Hulu and Netflix and Amazon and HBO now. And that's all I need. Like, apparently, except for Clone Wars.
I think that Netflix is getting a lot of Disney stuff, so maybe they'll get Rebels.
Oh, I would love that, because I would watch the crap out of that show.
Yeah, I think it's in September that you're going to see a whole lot of Disney stuff coming to Netflix.
That makes sense. All the CW shows are coming to Netflix, too.
Oh, that's good.
They come out today.
You know, it's funny, when I wrote that article, like when Entertainment Weekly was publishing photos of like the cast from Rogue One, and Forrest Whitaker, who plays this character, and I don't even remember his name, but there was question marks over it, and it said that we can't reveal who it is because it's someone that, you know, Star Wars fans would be familiar with, and he's also changed his look from what we previously know him as. And so I kept thinking, I was like, who could this be? And like, there's only three black guys in the Star Wars universe. There's that guy that was protecting Padme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mace Windu and
Lando Calrissian.
And Lando. And it's not Lando. Could be the other two. So I was like, yeah, it could be Mace Windu, because this guy is kind of a cyborg and he's missing an arm and stuff like that. I said, I'd get on board that, because it's like, you know, you don't know that he's dead, and it's going to lead into another story we're going to talk about. But I could see, you know, I was kind of hopeful that it was going to be Mace Windu, and that he just was like so pissed off with the Jedi because they never came looking for him, that he's more of a rebel, and he doesn't practice the Force like he used to. But what's even funnier now, though, is like now that with his new look, with his hair, he looks like Samuel Jackson from Unbreakable.
Kinda, yeah.
He's got like that weird shaped afro, you know.
You're right.
So. Yeah, it's too bad it's not, but I don't know. Maybe that was a little something they threw in there. Anyway, so that'd be kind of cool. When is it? Like about maybe 2 weeks? Less? Yeah, less than 2 weeks. We'll get to see a new Rogue One trailer. And speaking about Samuel Jackson, he made the news recently. He says he believes that Mace Windu is still alive. There was a discussion recently on Entertainment Weekly Radio, and Jackson was asked, what did he think about happened to Mace Windu after he met his untimely death? And he came out and said, of course, he's still alive. Jedi can fall from amazing distances, and there's a long history of one-handed Jedi, so why not? And he also said George Lucas, he spoke to him, and he said that George is on board, and he says, if you want to be alive, you can be alive.
George, do whatever you want. I don't care. It's not my anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think he's afraid.
I don't know a problem with Mace Windu showing up.
I love Mace Windu.
You know, I mean, he was a good character, you know, when they let him actually have a little fun with the role. And you know what? Yoda gets beaten by the Emperor. He says, oh, into exile I must go. Well, you know what? Mace Windu could have said the same thing and gone into his own sort of exile and just faded into the background. And just for some reason or another, now he's appearing. Why not?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him back. I mean, I'd rather see him than Ahsoka, I'll be honest with you. But, I mean, that's just me. I know a lot of people like her. But I thought he was a cool character. And again, like, look at, you never saw the body. That's the whole thing. It's like, he didn't have a funeral or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to see Mace Windu back. And, you know, I don't care. I'd like to see him in future Star Wars movies, you know, kind of as a big surprise. But we'll see. We also have some sad news. Actor Anton Yelchin, who played Ensign Pavel Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies, he passed away and it seems he's a victim of a freak accident. The last I heard is that...
I read into it. Do you want to know?
Go ahead.
Here's my theory, okay, because it's a lot to hearsay still, but so he had this kind of Jeep that has been recalled because you can't tell because the stick that lets you go in like drive or neutral or whatever always goes back to the middle, right? And so even after you change the gear to where it's in, and so I think that he's pulling out of his driveway that probably has a slight incline, then gradually gets a bigger incline, puts his car into park, goes, I gotta get my mail, right? Mm-hmm. Puts his car into park, but it goes into neutral, but it's a very light incline. It's not a big one. So the car's moving slowly backwards, but he doesn't notice. He's just getting his mail, and the car ramps up, and then he just gets slammed in between the Jeep and like the mailbox, which is just awful. He's like 23, and like his movies are great. Like, I like him as an actor. Fright Night, he was in that, and he was really good. Not to mention Star Trek and Charlie Bartlett.
He was in Fight Night?
Fright Night. Like Fright.
Oh, Fright Night. Okay.
The remake with David Tennant and the kid who plays Fogel from Superbad and the girl that was in Popstar, actually. And so he was the main character that was against the Colin Farrell's vampire.
Oh, yeah. I saw that over your place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was the main guy in that. So, it's just like, that was like a Paranormal Activity, not Paranormal Activity, Final Destination level freak accident.
Oh yeah,
to happen because like it's just that the car happened to not be able to tell whether you're in park or thing, and there's like all of that coming together. It's just like you're a person that's like, oh yeah, let me check the mail before I leave. You know, ugh, just terrible.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, from everything I read too, he seemed like a genuinely nice guy. You know, we've enjoyed him, the roles he's played, but it seemed like he was a nice guy off the set as well. It was a shame to hear it.
Yeah, it is really sad. And he was 27 years old.
Oh, 27. Oh, he's like my age, basically. I'm 27 in like a week and a half.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think I'm dying.
Oh, just shut up.
Yeah,
my
shut up.
20s now. My late 20s, you guys.
Yeah, whatever, my son.
Hair.
Yeah, you kids hair. With your no cable and all that.
Yeah. And your Twitter.
And your damn Twitter. Oh, darn Twitter. Sorry.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry, continue. Yeah, 27. That makes more sense. I thought he was my age, and I was like, but, okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, someone like that has to pass away, and Justin Bieber's still walking around. I was going to say being a what, but I'm not going to mention that. I have enough editing to do. Anyway, he's going to be in Star Trek Beyond, which comes out this month. So hopefully you guys will go check it out and think about him when he's doing his last jobs check off.
Hey, did anybody notice on the trailer? It looks like their Enterprise gets trashed.
But oh, yeah.
Yeah, later, definitely.
Later on, though, it looks like the ship that's flying out, that they're flying away from, whatever it is, it looks like the Enterprise from the Enterprise series, the NX-01.
Oh, really? I didn't catch that. I mean,
look at the design when it flies from the back. That it's got two nacelles. It doesn't have a secondary hull. Pretty much, it looks like the NX-01 they come flying out at the end with.
Hmm.
Interesting.
We'll see if that comes true, but that does sound interesting. All right, our next bit of news. Spider-Man Homecoming has started filming in Atlanta, and we've seen some pictures of Tom Holland in high school as Peter Parker. We've also seen some pictures of him as Spider-Man in the costume, and it's pretty much the same costume as we saw in Civil War. It's a little baggy in the mask, but I think they're going to fix that in post-production. And I heard recently that they're actually going to be filming a scene in Washington, D.C. on a field trip with his high school. And I think that's kind of cool. It'd be seeing him hopefully swing around the Washington Monument, you know, just do Spider-Man things like in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I also like the fact that we really don't know all that much about the story yet. I know I've said this before, but I like getting, you know, just a taste out of the trailers, but I don't want to know the whole plot of anything. And so far, even though we haven't seen any trailers or teasers, it's still good that here it is, they're in the filming stage, and they're still kind of keeping the story under wraps.
Yeah, I mean, we're assuming the Vulture's going to be in it, and possibly Norman Osborn. But speaking of Spider-Man Homecoming, Donald Glover has joined the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming, and Originally, didn't he wanted to be Spider-Man for Amazing Spider-Man?
No, he didn't want to be Spider-Man. So actually, it's Mark Bernardin, the guy who's on Batman on Batman now with Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He was a writer for some big, you know, it could have been when he was still a writer for Playboy, like he did the nerd stuff at Playboy. He was like, or when he was at a newspaper. I can't remember when, but he's the one who was like, why are we doing another white Spider-Man? Why don't we do Miles Morales? You know who'd be great for that? Would be Donald Glover. Like he just like threw it out there, and was kind of unintentionally the spark of this internet movement of like Donald for Spider-Man, and then Donald Glover just wears a Spider-Man t-shirt and then everyone else gets crazy about it. I mean, he's like, I would love to do that, but that's not even like a thing that's on the radar. Like he's like, I would love to be Miles Morales, and he was like the right age for it at the time, maybe a little old even then, but yeah, Miles Morales, like him is, and he loves Spider-Man, he truly does love Spider-Man, so like it definitely fit in many more ways than one. But I don't think he ever, it's not like he was rallying. He was like, sure, if that happens, awesome, I would do that. But I don't think he was out there going, I should be Spider-Man. But I think he's in this movie now because of all that at this point.
Yeah, who do you think he's going to play?
I don't know. I don't know enough about, I feel like I love Spider-Man, but I feel like I know enough. And the rumors are right that he's the uncle that of Miles Morales or something that gets Miles Morales bitten by the spider.
Hmm.
Well, he could always be Hobby Robinson. He's about the right age if they go the whole angle of the Daily Bugle.
Oh yeah, yeah, they'd be. Because that's the character that's like Spider-Man's friend, right? That's like
Well, he's the son of Joe Robertson, who's the assistant editor at the Daily Bugle, and you know, he becomes the Prowler actually, and you know, him and Spider-Man, Peter Parker, become friends, and you know, they've, in fact. Hobby has helped Peter Parker do the old Spider-Man and Peter Parker at the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he could be just friends with Peter Parker.
Yeah, I'd love to see the Prowler in that movie. And, yeah, that is a good idea. I mean, I remember that stuff, too, when he used to, like, if someone was saying, it's like, well, we think Peter Parker's Spider-Man, and then he would dress up as Spider-Man and kind of use his, his claws to make it look like he was crawling on the walls.
Yeah, and he had a zip line or something to be like something. Yeah, the Prowler was kind of cool. I always liked the costume of the Prowler.
Yeah, it'd be cool if we see him. Well, we'll see. Next year we'll see Spider-Man.
That's right.
I was going to talk about, too, they started filming Wolverine 3. We've seen some cast photos of Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart as Wolverine and Professor X. But it looks kind of weird, I thought, because it seemed like Hugh Jackman kept pushing Old Man Logan, but this doesn't really look like Old Man Logan to me so far.
Yeah, it doesn't much look like Old Man Logan. There are, like, there's weird, like, hints that it seems like that, but Professor Xavier wasn't an Old Man Logan. I think the problem is Old Man Logan needs the Marvel Universe, right? Old Man Logan is a dystopian Marvel Universe story as much as it's about Wolverine and the X-Men, because the X-Men aren't really in it because of what happens to them. So I would say it's more of like, hey, you know about the Marvel Universe and you love Wolverine, right? This is an amazing story that will break your heart and is just really awesome. And also turns heroes into villains into heroes in just really interesting ways. And it might be too, I don't know, I feel like, I mean, then again, I thought Civil War was too much for the standard audience to get or grasp or even make a movie out of until we had way more characters. So they could do something, right? But I'd be bummed if there wasn't Hawkeye and Wolverine going across country in the Spider-Mobile.
Oh, yeah, the road trip was the best part of the book.
Right, like, and they're like, oh, we're in Pym Falls. Why do they call it that? Oh, because there's the giant carcass of Hank Pym, because he was killed there. You know, like so many cool things that are Marvel Universe related that can't happen at this moment. And also, Professor Xavier wasn't there. There was, though, I mean, if we want to, like, Emma Frost was the Professor Xavier in that story, and you could just easily sub her out for him, even though it's not like he's going to have a rockin' bod at, like, however old she was supposed to be, because she's literally messing with everyone's mind to see what, like, what she wants them to see, is like, what she used to look like, right? But, like, the Hulk thing, the Hulk gang, and, like, in the Fantastic Four car, you know, having Red Skull at the end, like, there's so many things that there's not gonna be able to do, that it's got to be something else. And based on the finale or the after credit scene in X-Men Apocalypse, they're definitely moving towards X-23. And I have a really strong feeling that X-23 is going to be the Wolverine replacement in the 90s X-Men movie that's coming out, the next one, whenever they announce that, because they're doing it decade by decade. And she'll be in the blue and yellow suit that she's currently in the comics.
Hmm.
Which is actually a pretty good read. I've read the first five
issues. Yeah, yeah, it is pretty fun, arc. Right?
And it's better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It's kind of like the I'm Wolverine now. And I think that would work for me as far as like, yeah, I guess Hugh Jackman, it's fine if we're going to switch it up and Hugh Jackman's going to like pass on the Wolverine torch to X-23 because we have all these young actors and actresses playing all the other X-Men. It'd be weird to have some 50-year-old dude as one of them randomly, because even when you watch standard 90s X-Men, all of them are in their, you know, 30s, 40s in the cartoon, but they're not going to be that way by the time this movie comes out.
Yeah, Wolverine hitting on a teenage Jean Grey.
It'd be awkward. Yeah. But you guys saw the after credit scene, right? With the basically Essex.
I never saw it, so.
On the new X-Men. Well, I mean, okay. Well, it's hinting at, what's his name?
Sinister.
Yeah, Mr. Sinister, who's Essex Industries, and he's been a huge proponent of cloning, and like the whole, like, he's definitely part of why Cable even exists, and like why Jean and Scott kind of keep really forces them kind of getting together. Like, that's kind of like his thing, because he thinks that they make a perfect like mutant baby. He's a weird guy, and he looks super like creepy, and like I would love if they did that costume, but I doubt it because it's so outrageous. It's so like 90s, like.
Oh yeah, you're talking about Sinister?
Yeah, Sinister.
Well, I mean, they did Apocalypse. I mean, it wasn't the best, but you know, it still was a little out there too.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, yeah, I think that X-23, this might just be about X-23 and him dealing with like that, I guess. And I still feel like that they really screwed up the timeline to a point where, since Wolverine's only doing one more movie, you're never gonna have like the Wolverine, the X-Men movies that you know exist in your head and that exist in the comics, but it's just gonna be X-23. Because he was that young at a certain point and was ran into them, but just they changed the timeline. I don't know. It's all like, it's so weird to me because they show him escape from Riker's like weird base or whatever in this last movie. And so it's just weird to be like, yeah, we're going to have one more with him. And we erased all the other movies, so they don't exist. I mean, it's really starting to like boggle the mind, because you kind of almost have to reshoot those movies with the new ideas. And it's not going to be Wolverine anymore, but then he has to have been around because he had to have been in the future and knew everybody to go back in time. It's time travel, you guys.
Yeah, it does get confusing.
And now I'm going cross-eyed. So it's my good favorite. Austin Powers line in East Lake. But if I didn't have my mojo, doesn't matter. Cut it.
All right. Our next news story is Indiana Jones. We're starting to hear from him again. Spielberg has said that George Lucas will be executive producing along with himself for Indy 5. And not much of a surprise, but I don't think he's going to have much control because of what happened last time with the Crystal Skull. Spielberg also said he's not going to kill off Indy either in Indy 5. And John Williams is planning on scoring Indy 5 too. So
it's really like getting the band back together.
It is. You're right. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping again that they... Yeah, I do want to see Harrison Ford at least one more time as Indiana Jones. Just let him do a good job and just get it right. Get good writers on board. Get a group, not just Lucas deciding what's going to be on the pages and all that. And I think that they can have something nice.
Well, I mean, I was watching Crystal Skull not too long ago. And that movie, it's almost like Man of Steel if they just took a little bit less out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
It probably would have been a lot better. Like, for example, at the ending, I know they wanted to have the flying saucer come in somehow, but if these were interdimensional aliens, they should be hopping dimensions. They shouldn't be flying around in flying saucers. You could have gone that angle, lost the flying saucer, lost the nuclear bomb test, and you know what? I think people probably would have liked the movie a lot better.
Yeah, my problem with it was there just was too many people along with Indy. There was, Marion, there was his son, there was that professor, and then his buddy. I just think it's better when he's, you know, him and like maybe one other person. But, and again, I wasn't a fan of Karen Allen at all. I thought that she was the worst part of that movie for me. I mean, the story wasn't that great, but I thought that I just didn't like her in that movie, and I hope she doesn't come back.
Well, I hope they don't do another touching moment of Harrison Ford looking at photographs with music swelling in the background.
No.
With his dad.
Oh, yeah, no, my dream opening would be that he's putting flowers on her grave. You know?
Start on a downer, Joe. That would be real good.
Well, that gets rid of her real quick. And he's got to do something, or else he's going to get old and die. Go on an adventure, Indy. Get your groove back.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see what they do with him since... He's slowing down more and more during the years.
Yeah.
You know, I think, who was it on our last podcast said something like they should make Indiana Jones like James Bond. You know, Indiana Jones is now played by such and such for a few movies. And then that guy eventually moves on to something else and they get someone new in. I don't think it has to be Harrison Ford forever, but.
No, I mean, they're definitely going to reboot it at some point, but I think that you're just going to give him one last chance, which I think he deserves.
Yeah. Hey, it could be fun.
Yeah. All right, anyway, next news story is, I don't know if you guys heard this, Charlie Cox, who's in Daredevil right now, has apparently, he had a shot at playing young Han Solo, but his Daredevil scheduling preventing him from going any further. It's kind of weird, just before the podcast... I was watching Stardust, and he was in that, and I forgot he was in that, and he looks so different from what he is playing Matt Murdock in Daredevil.
You're right, he looks completely different. It's weird.
And Henry Cavill is in that movie, too.
As what?
He's the boyfriend of the girl that he has the...
Really?
Yeah, he's got blonde hair in that one.
Holy crap, that's Henry Cavill?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. No way. I gotta look it up. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah, go ahead. So what do you think, Jack? You think he would have made a good Han Solo?
You know what? I think he could have. I mean, I only really know him from Daredevil, and he's done such a good job as Matt Murdock. I could see him pulling off Indiana Jones. Pulling off Han Solo. You know, I think he'd be good.
But yeah, I mean, I think he might have been able to do it. Again, like when I saw him in Stardust and you compare him to what he's like in Daredevil, yeah, he's got a way that he can turn into the character. So, yeah, I could see that.
The only thing that has me worried about the Indiana Jones spinoff is...
Are you talking Indiana Jones or Han Solo?
Oh my God, why am I stuck on Indiana Jones here? On Han Solo is that we've seen Harrison Ford... There's so much of him that went into that role, just like there seems to be so much of him that went into Indiana Jones, that I hope whoever they get to play him just doesn't try to come off as doing a Harrison Ford impression.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I mean, you need somebody, yeah, he's got, you know, the cockiness of Han Solo. It should be the cockiness of Han Solo, not the cockiness of Harrison Ford.
Well, rumor is they're saying that the script is actually pretty good. I mean, again, it's a rumor, but from what I read that they said it's one of the better scripts that's out there. So,
hey, you know what? It's the way Disney does it.
Mm.
They have it. They'll shoot it. If they need to fix it due to focus testing, they're going to fix it. And really, Disney is not going to mess around with anything Star Wars. They spent way too much money.
Yeah.
If anything needs to be tweaked or changed, it's going to be tweaked and changed.
So did you get confirmation, Taylor?
Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. See, they never doubt me, man.
All right, I'm sorry.
All right, next news story. I'm sure Taylor will be interested in this, is that they revealed the Spider-Man game at E3, and it's a PS4 exclusive, and all future Spidey games will be PS4 exclusives.
Really? That's surprising.
Well, Sony. Yeah, wasn't the other Spider-Man games on Xbox?
They're all in everything before. There's never been a... system exclusive, I don't think, superhero game. I think there was a Avengers game for the Xbox Kinect, but I think it was also on Wii because the motion on both was kind of terrible. So no, I've never. I thought it was crazy that it's an exclusive because that's so much of the audience that would buy that is on both consoles. So it's very strange to me that they would do something like that. But you know, they own the rights, right? So they just want it to be on their thing, do what they want, I guess. But it looks great. I mean, it's Insomniac. I love Insomniac. Ratchet and Clank is like one of my favorite series of all time. So I'm all about that.
It does look pretty good. I mean, I think they're kind of trying to get the audience that Arkham games had. But yeah, they've never really had a character like Batman that they could use to be successful in a video game. And maybe they'll be able to do it this time, but they've had several Spider-Man games.
Spider-Man 2, as far as the gaming world, is heralded as the best Spider-Man game and one of the best movie games ever made. How it holds up today? Probably not that well. But at the time, what was cool about it, and what no one else did after that, which you're like, even the Spider-Man 3 game, it didn't make any sense because everyone's favorite part was how he moved to the city. Each trigger, the two triggers were the different arms for your web swinging, right? And you could shoot them both to like pull back and like do a slingshot, but you can just do one or the other and then just like keep using your different hands. And it was kind of like simulating that web swinging feeling. And that's what was like amazing part of it. And no other Spider-Man game after that ever used that. Even though that's what, if you ask anyone, like, what was really cool about Spider-Man 2 on PS2 and like Xbox, original Xbox, they're like, oh man, swinging through the city was awesome. And so it's weird to me that they never, one used that. Like, there's like at least four or five Spider-Man games after that game. And nobody else used that web swinging system. But, you know, you hear, who am I? I'm Spider-Man enough times, or like, my balloon! Which are two common things you heard a lot in Spider-Man 2. And you're kind of like, wow.
Flashbacks. Yeah, I remember playing that Spider-Man 2, and I got bored of it after a while, though. I mean, it was cool. It didn't make sense sometimes where his webs were going.
Yeah, that was another thing that they updated later, right? They're like, well, you can't swing if there's no building above you. You're not just shooting into the clouds. You're not webbing on the clouds. So, but they didn't have the horsepower, I don't think, even in any of the previous generation systems, to have buildings tall enough that also gave you the distance that you needed to swing. But now they do. And so I hope, Insomniac's really good at moving around an environment. They made Sunset Overdrive, which had a really fun like skating mechanic and like hopping around and getting around a city quickly. So if they can somehow do that with webs, then that sounds great.
I know this is a dumb question. I kind of felt like it was an open world game.
Yeah, I would assume it's an open world game.
No, I mean, no, the Spider-Man 2.
It was open world. That was cool. You were swinging around the city. Open world New York.
Yeah. Yeah, so like there were like different random crimes going on, like,
yeah, and like the kid would lose his balloon all the time, there'd be a mugger, there would be like, you know, just a bunch of like weird symbiotes or something that would attack an area that you'd have to go and punch. And then also you'd have to go to locations on the map to, you know, finish story mission stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, and this again, it looks good. Nice graphics, and
heard that was all in engine, by the way.
Yeah, that looks, and that costume looks pretty nice too.
And if you notice, the front of his shirt is like the new Spider-Man, and the back of his shirt's like old school kind of Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
it's two different spider symbols. Yeah, so whether that's maybe they're just showing, it was like they're just clipping stuff together, and you can change the symbol to how you want Spider-Man to look. Like, I think that'd be an interesting Batman game, right? That if you were able to choose your favorite bat symbol. Because, you know, like, maybe I love the 1989 bat symbol, but you love the Dark Knight bat symbol, and then someone else just likes the classic, you know, Adam West bat symbol, and you can choose the bat symbol that's on your chest. Nothing else is aesthetically different, except you could choose your bat symbol. If they did that with the Spider-Man game, that'd be fun, because there's so many. There's the round, you know, fat Spider-Man spider, and then there's, like, the movie Spider-Man, and there's, you know, it could be cool.
Sounds like they're going to be able to do that with Injustice.
Yeah, yeah, you could be anybody. I'm so stoked about that game.
But anyway, I don't even know when. I'm assuming that's coming out next year.
2017, I think it's like, I hope it's March, but it probably ended up being fall. But like, I would love it for it to be an early next year game. Spider-Man, I think, end of next year, though. Holiday 2017.
All right. This is our last news story, I think. Star Wars Battlefront just came out with a new DLC. Well, actually about 2 weeks ago. And it's Bespin Cloud City. And do either of you guys have it, or?
I have it. I haven't booted it up yet, though.
I didn't go for the season pass, but that from the video that you posted of your gameplay, it's really tempting.
I mean, I only played the Jabba thing once. I only logged in once to play that. So,
yeah, those Jabba contracts, those HUD contracts, they're annoying as hell. And instead of like being able to buy the weapons, you have to go through all these tasks and, you know, get a streak of like 10 kills in a row per multiplayer match. And just, I want to break my controller in half. I hate when they do stuff like that. And that was introduced in the last DLC, which I can't stand. But yeah, I mean, this looks beautiful. It got me back into Battlefront because I haven't been played in a long time. I used to play with like some of the guys from WDWNT, and we just stopped playing because we went on to other things. But it just reminded me, it's a fun game. It really is a good game. It's a beautiful looking game. It's very close to the Star Wars universe as you're going to get in a game. And like, again, these maps are pretty good. There's like 5 new maps in total. We have a big one, so you can do Walker Assault, and you can do Supremacy and Turning Point, which is pretty cool. A couple of, you know, new mode called Sabotage, which is kind of like the bombs going off, and then you have to escape, kind of like Titanfall, like where you have to get to your ship.
That's cool.
But not as advanced as Titanfall was. Bunch of guns, fighter squadrons changed, like where, and now there's actually a map in for Cloud City, which everyone was assuming, and it's beautiful. But instead of 200 points winning a match, it's 400 points, which makes the game like twice as long. So it's like a 10-minute game now instead of a 5-minute game. It's pretty cool. They add really nice touches. Like now the Emperor, like you can be one of his royal guards. Like if you're playing and somebody chooses the Emperor, it definitely, it's, I'm just gonna say, it's fun. If you're hesitant about buying the DLC for Bespin, I wouldn't. The first one was Outer Rim. It's like, eh, there's smaller maps. I wasn't too crazy about this, but this is the deal. I like this one, and the next one's gonna be Death Star.
And I think that is gonna simultaneously release. I don't know how long they're going to wait, but they seem to be having a good time, probably with that Death Star VR thing they're doing.
Yep.
Which, man, and PlayStation VR sold out now, and I feel so dumb for not buying it ahead of time, like pre-ordering it, but I didn't think it was going to be that good, and now I'm on it.
Yeah, once the Death Star comes out, that's going to be real hard to turn down.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in the previous Battlefront games, I mean, I the Death Star was just a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, and we still need Chewie as a hero. I'm sure he's coming.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, his bowcaster would be awesome.
Yeah, but, yeah, again, it's a great game. If you guys aren't playing it, it's really cheap now. I think you get it, like, for about $20-25. And I heard they're working on a single player, like, with bots, where you can play all the modes, like, you know, without human players, just bots and AI. And I actually am looking forward to that, because sometimes some teammates just drive me crazy. I'd rather just play against bots, kind of as practice. And eventually, you know, the online community is going to dwindle. We're not going to be able to play a game, so that's going to help us out. Longevity, guys. All right, let's. Oh, you know, I was going to ask you, Taylor. So, did you check out the Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice Ultimate Cut?
I watched it yesterday.
Really quick, what'd you think?
I mean, I loved it like everything else, though. Like, it's an unfortunate question for me. I think that they fleshed out a lot of Lex Luthor's plan. However, they still didn't explain how Lex Luthor knew as much as he did before the plan. So when you're rewatching this movie, you, especially with all the extended scenes and stuff, you know that Lex Luthor knows who Superman is at the very beginning of this movie. Lex Luthor knows who Superman is from the get-go. He knows that he has a weakness to lead. He can't see through lead, which he hadn't found the Kryptonian ship yet. So I don't know. Like, they at least, like, in comics sometimes will explain, like, he finds his Fortress of Solitude or, like, but maybe he's just picked it up. He's supposed to be, what, the smartest guy on the planet next to Batman, and so, or maybe, you know, smarter, depending on how you're going. Crazy, but smart. So I think that was kind of a thing you just have to be like, well, he's a smart guy, I guess. He knows that, you know, he figured out Kryptonite affected Zod on his whip by like, you know, stabbing it with pieces of it, and that's fine, but like, I still don't know how. And then he maybe knew who Batman was already, but he might not have, might have been kind of like he inferred it, and then it was definitely confirmed later. Superman knew because he got to hear him in his head. I thought that was cool. I still like that, how he heard Alfred and realized that he's Batman. The I mean, I think every extended scene should have been in that movie to start. They should have just cut out the part where Lois throws the spear into the water and then they have to go get it again. That's like a good 10 minutes you could just cut right out of that movie and just have them go pick up the spear on the ground. Because, I don't know, like, the extended scenes with Superman made Superman seem more like he was helping people after the explosion. He's dealing with more, saving more people. They cut a lot of Superman out of that movie, actually. Like, a lot of Superman character development. And, like, reasons why, like, this is also the beginning where when he says the line when he's talking to Lois, he's like, you could have been blown up or shot. I was always like, when was someone going to blow her up? And then I was like, oh, the military was going to blow her up. That whole part was cut out of the movie.
Yeah, they messed up that whole part.
But it was much better, you know, this time.
Mm.
I mean, the beginning, again, that movie, though, was 3 hours, and it felt 3 hours. In no way, I was like paused it halfway through, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have an hour and a half left. I wasn't like saying, oh my gosh, I hate my life that I have an hour and a half left, but it was still like, wow, hour and a half. But I think that all of the things that were extended in that movie definitely made that a better movie. Did it make it the best movie? Did it make it better than probably a Marvel movie for the most part? Probably not. For me, I was very excited still to see parademons and all these like things and like, you know, little extended parts and all that stuff that I liked in the first place. But I think it made it a better movie, and it would have been more of a 7 out of 10 rather than a 5 to 6 out of 10 is what we kind of feel like we ended up.
Yeah, I go back and forth with that movie. There's a lot of stuff I don't like in that movie, but there's a lot of stuff I do too. I mean, those battle scenes with Batman and Superman, and then the end battle with Doomsday, they're amazing. He does a good job at filming that.
And Batman fighting all those thugs.
Oh yeah,
Arthur is phenomenal. Like, that scene is one of the coolest like scenes.
And the Batmobile chase.
Yeah, excellent. You know, and they really make Batman use his environment. And they just added up the kill count, including the dream sequence, is only 21. Which, if you include that dream sequence, you gotta assume like 15 of those kills were just in that dream sequence.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, like, that's, you know, people are like, he's killing people, and yeah, he is, but Batman after Jason Todd died was a much harder, crazier person, and it wasn't until in this movie what they're doing is Superman's death to bring him back to being, like, the better Batman that he should be. I really liked it, and all the fighting scenes were great, and yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman was still fantastic, and, you know, I also love that, like, the Jon Stewart was in that movie. That they cut out at certain parts, you know, like he was on the TV in that movie. Yeah, like there's a part where like there's like people that are working one of the parties watching TV, and they're watching Jon Stewart comment on like Superman, and then it pulls away and they go back to the party. It was pretty cool. So
he's talking about Jon Stewart the comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not Jon Stewart Green Lantern, but I mean, they definitely heavily mentioned Major Ferris in this movie, which is Carol Ferris, right? Who you saw at the end of the first Man of Steel, who was like, he's kind of hot. Who is, of course, the Star Sapphire and girlfriend of Hal Jordan Green Lantern. So we have that. I think that, I don't know, I'm just very excited about this next one. And watching some of the behind-the-scenes special features, the guy who's playing the Flash is so genuinely excited about being the Flash that I kind of am giving him more of a pass than I originally was.
Yeah.
I still think the Flash could have shaved before he got the suit. Like, it's fine that he didn't shave when he's going to the grocery store or, like, the market, but, like, he has the time, okay? He's the fastest man alive. He could have shaved before he got in the suit to go tell Bruce, like, crap was going down. And that's the other only scene that really bothers me is...
Well, I thought that scene, it could have been that he was coming from a post-apocalyptical world.
No, sure, he's coming from the Injustice world or whatever, but...
Yeah.
Like, still, and it's fine that he didn't shave, then, cause he's gonna, but why does Batman wake up twice? There's papers flying in the background to help you understand that the Flash thing was real. The dream might not have been real, but the Flash thing actually happened.
Yeah.
And so they shouldn't have had him wake up. That's just bad editing. He shouldn't have woken up twice. He should have been like, what the hell was that? But then I guess, I don't know, like, it just seemed like, why did he wake up twice? But there's papers flying around. It's not like Flash has the power to make you fall back asleep after he gives you a warning from the future. So
yeah, and I would have given this movie a pass if Eisenberg wasn't cast as Luthor.
You heard that story. Maybe you told me this story, but it was supposed to be Cranston. But like, Eisenberg was supposed to be Jimmy Olsen in the very beginning.
Yeah,
and he was supposed to just be there to be a red herring because they were going to shoot him, right? And so they're like, look at this giant famous actor playing Jimmy Olsen. You don't think we're going to kill Jimmy Olsen? And then they kill Jimmy Olsen. And then he was just in the writing room and like whatever, Snyder liked him or something, and it was going to be Bryan Cranston. It was going to be Luther. Like, that was their number one pick, and God damn, would he be perfect.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, that's what stinks. And again, I know we've discussed it before, that he's not really the real Lex Luthor.
He's Alexander Luthor II, right?
Yeah. But, you know, if they're going to make a movie with Batman and Superman in it, bring in the real Lex Luthor the first time. You know, don't wait for a sequel for him to come back in some other form or whatever.
Well, he did say, so weirdly enough, I'm rewatching this movie, he said that didn't stop, I left this room how it was, that didn't have him come back. He says that, which doesn't mean that his dad is dead.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
So he's like, Lex Luthor, like the, I mean, it'd be weird if they were both bald, I guess, at that point, but like the Lex Luthor might still show up, Alexander Luthor the First, and just be this like hard businessman, you know, that just comes in as like, my son's in jail, I'm coming to take the company back over because he screwed everything up, you know, which would be awesome, played by Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, well, bottom line, like I said, they should have never had Eisenberg as any Luthor.
I think that was the weakest part of the movie for sure, as far as casting, and like, it made the movie weirder. Like, rewatching it, I still feel like, why is he crazy? I don't understand why he's so. They could have made him a fun, like, not crazy, you know, young startup kind of character, right? But he had too much, like, you know, psychotic is a three-letter word meant for people with little minds kind of situation going on.
Yeah, it's like they were like, well, we want you to be like the Joker, but not the Joker.
Right. Leave the Joker to the Joker. You know, like, they're different characters for a reason. Like, Superman's enemy isn't the Joker. Like, Batman's enemy is the Joker, and Superman's enemy has to be calm and collect and super smart and businessy, where Superman is caring and strong, right? You got caring and strong and smart and ruthless, and that's why they're the other ends of the spectrum, where you have, you know, Batman, who has a plan for everything, versus someone who doesn't plan. Sorry, again. Doesn't plan things.
All right. All right, so that's our thoughts on Batman v Superman. I'm sure it's not going to be the last, because I just keep bringing it up, because it's a movie I want to love, but I'm having issues with it. All right, let's get into our big main topic. And our main topic is that there's word that Fox and Marvel may be working to team up and bring the Fantastic Four and X-Men to the MCU. Similar to what Sony and Marvel did with Spider-Man, according to a new rumor that began with Fat Man on Batman producer Matt Kelly, he was recently a guest on Collider Heroes. It sounds like 20th Century Fox is kind of working with Marvel. He said, I've heard from a few of my sources, my little birds, that Fox and Marvel have kind of talked. But like, there's interest from Fox, like, oh, you know, what they did with Sony and Spider-Man is actually pretty cool. Like, maybe we're years away from that ever possibly happening, but I think that's what it would be like. Fox joining hands at Marvel at some point. Now, it's possible. I mean, I could see it happening, especially since there's new leaders over in Fox, and it seems like Marvel and Disney are a lot more friendlier too. And hopefully the Spider-Man issue will be successful, like what they did with Spider-Man and with the new film coming out. I mean, if that's a blockbuster, I definitely could see Fox working with Marvel. But anyway, what do you guys think? Do you kind of foresee it? And I guess we'll kind of talk about, like, what stories we'd like to see.
Oh, well, I mean, anything that gets the FF back is fine with me, because that was always my favorite book. And it's just a shame that the movies were always so bad. But yeah, I mean, if it works out, you know, 20th Century Fox, they're not making money with what they're doing with the franchise now. So they'll still get a cut, I'm sure. And that cut will probably be more than what they were making on their own. So for 20th Century Fox, it'd probably make sense for the FF. For the X-Men, I don't know. I think Fox is making enough money with the X-Men on their own. So I don't know how much they would be willing to give that up to work with Marvel. But hey, we never thought Sony would go to Marvel to help them with Spider-Man. So anything could happen.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the best possible outcome, right, is that everything is under the Marvel umbrella as far as the movie studios, so that we can have all these characters we love all on the screen at the same time. You know, right now, they're like very separated into weird walls. Not that the X-Men franchise isn't doing a great job on its own, creating its own universe, and the X-Men are always kind of on their own anyway. They don't really interfere a lot, even in Civil War. They were like, no thanks. You know, it'd be great to just to be like, you know, oh man, there's Wolverine or X-23 or whoever that's hanging out, and they're helping us solve New York with Spider-Man, and the Fantastic Four show up, and it'd be great. It'd be great. And Dr. Doom, that's what we need, right? That's what we really want here. We really want just Dr. Doom back. We're like, look, we'll take the Fantastic Four, we'll take this, it's fine, but we really need Dr. Doom and Magneto. Those are two of the best villains that Marvel has, and they're just locked away, gated away with somebody else. So,
yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I think, like what Jack said, I mean, they're doing great with X-Men. I mean, they really don't have to do anything. Although, I still don't think that they're doing X-Men right. I think that if Marvel had more control, I think we'd see something that we're more familiar in the comics with, and I'd love to see it. I'd love to see costumes. Like, you guys all saw Deadpool, that Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Uh-huh.
Her costume was awesome. I mean, it looked great. Was it yellow and the black or yellow and blue? I thought it just worked so well, and I could see that other heroes using that. And I've always wanted to see, like, the X-Men in costume. I want to see Wolverine with his mask on and stuff like that. But, you know, if we focus on the Fantastic Four, though, I just want to see them go back to Marvel. And I think that would help both parties because they can be part of their stories. I'd love to see, like, a Hulk versus Thing sort of thing. Not a whole movie about it, but something like what they did with the Hulkbuster and Hulk. But definitely bring the Fantastic Four into some of their stories, bring them into Infinity War, you know, which would be nice. But I wouldn't mind seeing, like, I could see them, like, way, way down the road. Hopefully I'll still be alive. As if, like, they did something like Avengers versus X-Men. I think that'd be pretty cool to do something like that. And that would probably make a lot of money for both parties. Yeah, I think it would be great if they did something. Do you guys have any stories you can think of that you'd like to see?
Oh, well, I mean, if they brought it through, like you said, the Hulk versus Thing fight. I mean, one of my favorite stories was way back in the 60s, Fantastic Four 25 and 26, where the Hulk shows up, starts trashing the city. The FF tries to fight him, but it gets down to the Hulk and the Thing. The Hulk wins, but then the Avengers show up, and it just turns into everybody versus a rampaging Hulk. I mean, story-wise, not great, but you know what? It's strictly for fan enjoyment.
Just visual spectacle, man.
Yeah, everybody coming out just to stop the Hulk from trashing New York completely because he's out of control. I mean, you have that one. The crossovers between the X-Men and Avengers were always fun. But heck, you could even throw the X-Men out with the Guardians of the Galaxy because the X-Men have had space adventures.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing you could do with the FF. Part of the problem with the Fantastic Four that a lot of writers don't get is the Fantastic Four are more like explorers. Okay? They don't show up to stop a bank robbery. They just happen to go out and something comes up. Reed comes up with some gadget, they find something, a new threat, and that's when they have to face it. They don't have villains like Spider-Man or the Red Skull. You know, it all comes out of a sense of exploration with them. And the fact that they're also very family-orientated versus team-orientated. So a lot of writers don't get that. And I think that's part of the difficulty that they have. Now, the first two Fantastic Four movies weren't great, but they did get that family element. The problem with those movies is they just didn't know what to do. They didn't make a strong enough villain. They didn't let Dr. Doom be Dr. Doom. They didn't let Galactus be Galactus. They made him a cloud. I don't know. They have to get into that. They could go into the FF goes out and does something. And as a consequence of it, the Avengers have to show up. And they all team up to fight the threat. Classic comic book formula of how teams get together for a team up. Or same thing, Avengers and X-Men meet up, they fight it first and team up to fight a common foe. It's not that hard. They just have to come up with a good villain for them to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you said it spot on. I thought you did. That was great, Jack. I totally agree with that. I was going to say, too, I mean, I don't want to see another origin story with the Fantastic Four. I want to see them established. What were you saying?
Same thing. I mean, do it like in Raimi's Spider-Man 2. Just have the origin story told within the credits by pictures flashing by. Or in Ed Norton's Hulk. They didn't do an origin story. They told that in the credits.
Yeah.
That boom, boom, boom. Here you go. Let's just get on with the story.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who the characters are.
Yeah, like I wouldn't mind seeing Franklin Richards in the movie. I mean, just fast forward it a little bit where they're pre-established.
But even that, they can do bring Franklin Richards in on the second story, where you know Sue's pregnant, she has a trouble. Reed goes searching. The only cure to help Sue have the kid is in the negative zone. So you know what? Suit up. They go out and they explore the negative zone and get into trouble out there and find a cure. That's your classic FF story.
Yeah.
Not oh, someone is robbing a bank or, you know, it's usually somebody coming to pick a fight with them versus them being reactionary to something that's happening. And like I said, that was always the fun of the FF for me because they have crazy adventures, not just supervillain fights. But hey, we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah, what about like Wolverine and the Hulk?
That would be that might be Marvel's first the MCU's first rated R movie.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to be happy unless Wolverine is cutting loose on the Hulk and Hulk is just regenerating and fighting back.
Yeah, and again, it would be nice if this X-Men movie is not Old Man Logan, and maybe they're talking about it and saying, look, you know, we need the Hulk, we need the Red Skull, Hawkeye, if we're going to do proper Weapon X, not Weapon X, Old Man Logan. And, you know, that would be great for the fans, definitely.
Yeah, and you could wait until Hugh Jackman's older, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's his last movie now, right? And they say it's the last one, but let's say that they do this movie in 5 years or 10 years or whenever they finally figure it out, and they're just like, you know, you haven't seen it in a while, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. You're like, yeah, I know I haven't seen that in a while. It's been crazy. Like, it's been a long time. They're like, well, he's back. And we got all the rights, and you know all these characters now because we've been making movies for 20 years about Marvel and stuff. And now they're all dead and things. And you're like, what? And they're like, yeah, and he's going to fight the Hulk. And you're like, what? And Red Skull's going to be there. What? Hawkeye's blind. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what's happening. So, like, they could do so many things. Like, they could already have a spider buggy introduced in some later Spider-Man movie where it's like, yeah, remember the spider buggy? That's crazy. It's in this movie. Like, man, just, yeah, wait and, like, do Old Man Logan when it's the best time to do it.
Yeah, and I kind of wish they would have waited for Civil War, too.
Yeah.
But that still was a decent movie, though.
No, I liked Civil War a lot. I thought they did a good job with it, considering, you know, how many heroes they had. I thought it was much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it definitely, whatever you say, like for me with Civil War, it exceeded my expectations because I was negative from the beginning because I just didn't like the lineup that each team had. I mean, there were some good hitters on each side, but there were some minor ones I just didn't think had like the strength of like if we had like Sue and Reed were part of the comic book with you know, the Civil War and stuff like that. Just something like where we would see more of it and Spider-Man could have had more time. Yeah, it was better than what I was expecting. Oh, yeah, you guys, I know Taylor's been reading Spider-Man and Deadpool. Have you been reading Spider-Man and Deadpool, Jack?
No, I'm not a Deadpool fan.
A Freudian slip.
Deadpool. Yeah, you know what? To me, that would be a good name for him. But no, I'm not really a fan of his.
But you have Taylor.
I just read that first issue, but I did see the thing you sent. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean that would work well too. I mean, it doesn't. That wouldn't be Marvel, but I think they mentioned that too, that they were kind of open to that, having a Spider-Man Deadpool crossover in the movies.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, I really enjoy I enjoy the Spider-Man Deadpool like back and forth, because Spider-Man knows Deadpool's a crazy person, but Deadpool doesn't know Deadpool's a crazy person. So Deadpool's like, "Why aren't we best friends?" Spider-Man's like, "Cause you're a crazy person." Like, there's a trade called Monkey Business, in which there's a hitman monkey that's killing people in New York City, and Deadpool shows up. And of course, when all these dead people are dead all over the place, and Deadpool shows up, Spider-Man thinks it's Deadpool killing these people. And so he's like, "What are you like?" He's like, "You're crazy. Why are you killing these people?" He's like, "What are you talking about, man? I'm just trying to get your help. There's like this, there's a hitman monkey that's out there killing people, and I was wondering if I can get your help." And he's like, "Are you serious? A hitman monkey? You must think I'm stupid, Wade." And he's like, "No, really. Like, why would I like be here on this roof waiting for you to attack me if I was the bad guy trying to kill people?" And he's like, "That's a good point." And then like the monkey shows up and he's like, "You weren't lying." And he's like, "I told you." And they have to team up to fight this hitman monkey. And that's like, it's just great, because like Spider-Man is so like over Deadpool. He's like, "Oh my gosh." Because he's like, "You're a crazy person and I can't handle your shenanigans right now." But like, it's always fun. They're always a fun pair together.
Yeah. So. I guess it's definitely an acquired taste. I think like, Jack and I are from a different generation, so I guess we'd have issues probably getting into that. But we all saw the Deadpool movie, and we liked that. And you know,
well, I didn't care for it, but you liked it.
Oh, you didn't? I didn't know that. Okay, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I thought Ryan Reynolds was great, and I think that was the most important part, is they got him right. But yeah, it was enjoyable. It was not. I think it went. It was more well received than I think it deserved to be. It still was good. They stay true to the comic book, and I definitely appreciate it for that.
Totally.
Is that your last word?
It's my last word, totally.
All right. All right, well, with that, another episode has come to an end, and I would like to thank you all for listening. Since Patrick and Ron are not here, to let our listeners know where they could follow us, I'll do that duty. You can find us at Nerd Alert Pod. That's at Nerd Alert Pod, and also, you can email us at nerdalertpod@gmail.com. What about you, Taylor?
You can find me online at TKCH, that's TK4TCH on Twitter. If you want to hear my ramblings about comic books, you could follow Comic Chat WGAT on Twitter or Instagram. And then if you want to hear me talk about video games, follow CBX Casts, that's at CBXCASTS. So that's me.
All right, and thanks again, Jack, for joining the conversation and giving us your insight.
Anytime.
So with that, this is the end of Season 2, Episode 7 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. And until next time, does anyone want to say it?
Good night, folks.
Stay nerdy? Is that what we said?
That's it. Yep, that's what you got to say.
Stay nerdy!
See ya.